Thank you. I often joke with people. I say, I go out to the Wild West, and they're tough out there. I said, you get in Montana and Wyoming, they're tough. Out there where men are men and women are men, they're tough out there. I'll tell you that right now. But I'm so glad you made it out tonight. From my heart, I mean this. Thank you for coming. Thank you. Now, let me encourage you. Try and bring somebody with you. Ask God to give you wisdom how to reach that person. And thank you again for coming tonight. Look in your Bible. Psalm 22 is a prophecy of Calvary. Written about 700 years before Calvary happened. But it's a prophecy. And Bible prophecy is not maybe, not might, it could be. When God says something, you say amen. Because when God says something, it is truth, and it will come to pass. The Bible says, God is not a man he should lie, neither son of man he should repent. Has he not said? Shall he not do? Has he not spoken? Shall he not make it good? You find that word he. Why? Because he's sovereign. He's the Almighty God. When God says something, it's not maybe, buddy, it's a sure thing. Claim the promises of God, because God backs up his promises. Look in your Bible, Psalm 22, verse number 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. In the night season, I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, and he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls, and the basin have beset me round about. They gaped upon me with their mouth as a ravening and a wild lion. But I am poured out like water. All my bones are joint, my bones are to joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my... Now look down, please. Look down. Look in your Bible now at verse number 22. Prophecy of Christ dying on the cross. Doesn't end on the cross. Verse 22. I will declare my name unto the heathen. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. In 1778, Voltaire was dying. Probably the most famous infidel ever lived. At the time of his death drew near, his doctor was there. He said, doctor, listen, I'm a wealthy man. You keep me alive 24 hours, I'll give you $1,000. The doctor said, sir, I have pills to dispense, medicine to give, I have no time to sell. But Voltaire died, his care and griping was so great, everybody, for he died alone. They couldn't stand to be in the room with that man dying. The last words they heard was this, I'm abandoned by God and man. In Psalm 22, you find the scream of an abandoned soul. In Psalm 22, you find a man dying. He's forsaken by friends. He's forsaken by God. Alone, he hangs there and bleeds and dies. Number one, first of all, we find a sadness. Who was this person hanging on a cross, abandoned by God and man? You know who it was. It was Jesus Christ. And when Christ fell on that cross, God did three things that are almost unthinkable. Number one, first of all, God hid him. Look at your Bible. Verse number one. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? It shocks us. Why? Why not? One reason, one time when Jesus Christ did God the Father, as ever before, God turns his back, plucks his ears, and abandoned his son. How come? There's a reason. On that cross, Jesus Christ became sin. Your Bible says he became sin for us. He who knew no sin, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That great verse, God so loved the world, gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When Christ upon Calvary, he bore your sin and my sin and the sin of the world. Like your Bible tells you, God is too holy to look upon sin. My, how that ought to affect people. If God were to abandon his own son, hanging on Calvary, dying in sin, I guarantee you something, sir. If you're not saved, when you die, you'll die alone. God will not be there. If God abandoned the one he loved the most, then you put it down. You die without Christ. You'll die an abandoned soul. I was going to seminary in Chattanooga. Life was busy. It was busy. I come home from a school, walked about two blocks downtown to go to work, and I walked home one day. We shared an apartment, a house with a woman. I walked in the kitchen, a plate on the kitchen table. Over the plate was tinfoil. On the plate was a name. The name said, Brother Mark, God loves you and I love you. Here's your lunch today. I thought, that's great, you know. I returned thanks. I took the tinfoil off. There it was, my friend. The abomination of desolation, spoken of by the prophet Daniel. Something I never saw before, hope I never see again. On that plate, there were two items. Number one, black-eyed peas. Oh, man. Oh. You got to be backslidden if you eat black-eyed peas. It gets worse. Number two, down south, here we go, what they call hog joels, not jaws, they call them joels, okay? Down south when they butcher them, they scrape the fat off the jaws of the hog. Now, down south, they use it as bacon, okay? If you fry it, it might not be bad. Mrs. Smith was a diabetic. She boiled it, okay? Now, on that plate are black-eyed peas and a big hunk of boiled hog fat. Now, immediately, I knew what to do. I went in the bathroom, deposited it, and got rid of it, okay? Yeah, I cannot stand hog joels. What happened? About 2 weeks later, I come home. There it is again. There it is again. This time, I knew what it was. Didn't want to touch it. It was so ungodly, okay? I went in there, got ready to say, see, one thing I can't stand. I can eat about anything except liver. And you can't be saved to eat liver. Liver I hate. Hog joels I hate. Now wait, what are you saying, preacher? When Christ hung on Calvary, his own father had to abandon him. You die without Christ, it's hopeless and helpless and hell-bound. If God would abandon the one he loved the most, put it down, friend, he'll abandon you if you die in your sin. Number one, God hid. Number two, God didn't hear. Look in your Bible at verse 2. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not in the night season, and am not silent. Now again, why didn't God hear his son? Because he just wasn't sin. He became sin. He was sin-soaked, sin-saturated on that cross. He bore the sin of the entire world. Now, how does that apply to us? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What's that verse saying? Believer, you have sin in your life. God cannot answer prayers you make because of sin. Sin blocks the ears of God. Sin blocks the telephone line to heaven. First of all, you confess your sin. Then you pray. Then God can hear and God can grieve and God can grant your request. But my friend, sin blocks heaven's reception. Number three, first of all, God hid, God didn't hear. Number three, God didn't help. Look in your Bible again. Verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? You put this down, underline it. Sometime in your life, more than money, more than a car, you're going to need God. You are. Maybe when a spouse dies, maybe when you hear that word cancer. Maybe when an accident comes. Maybe when a relative, a son, a daughter is injured cruelly. Remember a time in your life, friend, where more than anything else, you're going to need God. But God is not there if your life is full of sin. And God is not there, my friend, if you've never, ever, ever been saved. I was preaching in Salem, Iowa. Pastor came to me and said, Brother Mark, there's a call we got to make, and it's tough. Guy out here, he said his name is Floyd. He's in Salem, Iowa. He said Floyd owns about 5,000 acres of prime farmland. He said Floyd got cancer about 3 years ago. I went out to see him. He was coming in on a tractor from the field. Hey, Floyd, I said, come to see you. He said, I've come. So I hear you got cancer. Yeah, I got cancer. He said, well, can I show you from the bottom? No, I said, forget that stuff. He said, I live my life without God. I'm going to die without God. Because I got cancer, I'm not going to go. He said, Pastor, here's the deal. You want to talk to my wife? You're a good man. I believe that much. He said, go in and talk to her. You come to show me something from the Bible, put that Bible in the car, you get in the car and get out. He said, preacher, his wife called this morning and it's about over for him. If we go out there, will you try to witness? I said, I'll try. We got out to the farm, big farm, pulled in, went up, rang the doorbell, the wife opened the door, said, come on in. We walked in. We walked in the room. There he was in the living room, lying on a bed. We walked in. He saw the pastor. Said, preacher, thank you for coming. He said, I'm not going to make it. I'm not. I need God. I'm trying to get that man saved. About 3 minutes. You got your health. You got money in the bank. Everything was laugh at God. Mock the old time religion. Buddy, when you're dying, you're a fool about God. The thief on the cross, one mocked God and went to hell. Thank God, one got saved. Oh, my friend. Get saved if you're not saved. Live for God while you can. You say, well, someday, you may have a stroke and not be able to do anything. Someday, my friend, you may be in a wreck and be confined to a wheelchair. Can't go calling. My friend, the time to serve God is today. Not one time in the Bible does it say serve God someday, serve God eventually. Every time it tells us to serve God, it always says today is the time to serve Jesus Christ. Number one, a sadness. Number two, but good news, a sureness. Look in your Bible, please, at verses 4 and 5. I'm glad I can tell you tonight, I can tell anybody on the face of the earth, going to heaven is not maybe, not might, not perhaps. Glory to God. Bible salvation is a sure salvation. You can know that you're on the way to heaven. If you don't know that tonight, you better make sure. You say, well, I'm 90% sure I'm going to heaven. No, here's the problem. You're 10% sure you're going to hell. That's way too big a gamble. Once those gates click, it's over, it's done. You cannot get saved. My friend, notice a wonderful word here. Read your Bible. Verses 4 and 5. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. 4 times in 2 verses, God said, you can know you're going to heaven. Well, first of all, it says there, my friend, our fathers trusted. What does that mean? That speaks of faith. We're saved by faith. A time comes in your life, you realize you cannot save yourself. What do? You invite Christ into your heart, and you're saved by faith. Another word there I like. Look in your Bible again. Verse number 5. Here's my favorite. They cried. What's that refer to? 3 times your Bible says this. Whosoever. That's the biggest invitation you'll ever find. That includes everybody. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 3 times the Bible. Why am I going to heaven? Because I'm a preacher? No. Because I'm moral? No. I'm going to heaven one reason. 16 years old, church camp, flat on my back in bed. I realized I was a sinner, one heartbeat from hell. And that night in that darkened cabin, I invited Christ into my heart to be my Savior. That is Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Not baptism, not good works, not church membership. Whosoever shall call. That's a definite prayer. Understand that. I showed this to you. Oh, yeah, I pray something. No, that's not nothing. It's not a general prayer. It's a definite prayer. Inviting Christ into your heart to be your Savior. Many years ago, I went to Colorado with the church I was going to, and 100 teenagers from that church. We got out there, and the leader said, okay, he said, now, tomorrow, we're going to go rappelling. I thought, what's rappelling? You know, I had no idea. We're camping in a cave in Marble, Colorado. Well, we drove way up on this horrible road. We got out, he said, now, okay, form a line, okay. And then what happened? He had this harness. So you put this harness on, then run a rope through it. He said, now hang on to the rope. He said, what you do, you come and put your heels against the back of the cliff there on the edge. Then you step off backward, hang on to the rope, he said. He said, what's going to happen? You'll go down and swing in. What you do is this, you kick out and let some rope go, then grab it and you come back in. He said, everybody know how to do it? Okay, I need a volunteer. Talk about bold, courageous. We need a volunteer. I saw 100 teenagers take a step backward. Guess who's standing there? Oh, man. That's not my thing, folks. I don't even ride roller coasters. Amen. Anyway, okay, Brother Mark, put your feet on the back. And then he said, now, just hang on the rope. You don't have to tell me. I got the rope. He said, step off backward. I prayed. Lord, receive my spirit. I stepped off backward. I come in, hit the side of the cliff with my feet. I kicked back. I made it safely. Why? I was trusting not the rope. That's only part of it. I was trusting the spike had been driven in. The rope was a source of trust. The spike is what I did trust. Faith does not save. In the Bible, salvation must have an object. Understand it. There used to be a song years ago. I believe. No. Yeah, faith has an object. Believe what? On the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. If I just believe enough, no. You got to have an object. And my friend, for salvation, that object is Jesus Christ. Look at that a minute. Look in your Bible, if you would, please. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you have trouble in your Bible finding 2 Corinthians, I want to give you a hint. It helped me a lot. I think it'll help you. If you have trouble finding 2 Corinthians, remember one thing. It's right after 1 Corinthians, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When you found that, look up this way. Great, great chapter here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look in your Bible. Verse number 1. Paul said, for we know. Okay, I like that. Not maybe, not might. Paul said, I know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Paul said, you can know you're going to heaven. Look in your Bible again. Look down at verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident. I like that word, confident. Why? Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Look at verse number 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. What a statement. Paul said, I'm ready to go. I'd rather be with the Lord than be here. That is confidence in the Word of God. Turn your Bible again over to 1 John. 1 John. When you find 1 John, look at chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, toward the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 5. Another great chapter on Bible assurance. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John's before 2 John. You're learning something tonight, aren't you? What do you teach these people, preacher? Okay. You find 1 Peter, 2 Peter, then you find 1 John. Chapter 5. Ready? Here we go. Verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son. Stop. Believing about Christ does not save. You must believe on Christ to save. What does that word on mean? It means you trust. Understand that. I stand on this pulpit. Why? I'm even able to hold my 135-pound body, so I stand here, okay? But to believe on is not believing about. Hey, don't miss this. You can believe every word in the Bible and be the smartest guy in hell. Paul preached to a king. The king trembled. Paul said, believest thou the scripture? I know thou believest in the night. You can search every corner of heaven. The man's not there. Why? He believed the Bible. The Bible does not say you to believe the Bible. The Bible points to Christ. And he's the one that saves.
Amen.
Look in your Bible again. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. Look at verse 11. This is the record. Now, what's the record? A record is a sure thing. A record is a legal document. You own property somewhere in Illinois. You go down to the city hall, and there's a record. You own that property. A record says there's a sure thing. Look at that verse again. Verse 11. This is the record. God has given unto us. We haven't earned it. Given unto us eternal life. Where's his life? In his Son. Notice how he emphasizes the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things are written unto you. Here's the word, that believe. That means trust. Not just trust. Trust what? Next word, trust on. On. The faith, I gotta say it again, faith must have an object. Believing without believing will damn you. Believing on Christ will save you. Look again, verse 9. Believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. There it is, that word know. That you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Salvation is specific. He that hath the Son hath life. Now why do I emphasize that? For 10 years, I didn't miss a church service. I walked about a mile and a half to church, a mile and a half home, three times a week. Never missed. But I was going to heaven. Finally, I realized you had to trust Christ. Head knowledge would damn you. Heart knowledge will save you. And I told you before, in bed one night, it hit me. The Holy Ghost got over me. I said, man, I've joined the church. I've been baptized. President of the youth group. Huh? Walked to church and back. Sell the street corner. Give out tracts. Be laughed at. But I never accepted Christ. And that night, I got questioned. Can you point to a time and place when you got saved? There is a time and place you got saved. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible talks of a time and place salvation. You don't grow into it. You don't learn about it. It's a decision you make. Now, if you have a spiritual birthday, Christ said you must be born again. Now, think of the first, there's nobody here tonight that is capable of thinking, but you don't know what your birthday is. Yeah. Now, how about spiritually? Your spiritual birthday should be as definite as your body birthday. It's just as definite. Look at your Bible again. Go back to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. First of all, a sadness. Number two, a sureness. I like number three, a substitution. Look at your Bible. Psalm 22. I want you to look, please, at verse number 6. The man dying says, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Keep in mind, that is Christ on Calvary saying, I am a worm and no man. Now, the word worm there is interesting. You've heard this before, I'm sure. The word for worm is caucus. C-A-U-C-A-S. It was a special type worm. A long worm, a bright red worm. That worm was useful. In Bible times, now I like this, in Bible times, women didn't lay in bed all day and eat bonbons. No. They got up early, bless God. They got up when the dew's on the ground. They get a big wash pan, they'd go out in the yard and they'd collect these worms. Why'd they collect them? They'd bring them in, they'd crush them, you put clothing in those, and the clothing becomes dyed. A bright red color. You have a garment that you couldn't get the stain out. What do? Get the caucuses, put it in, let it set, pull it out. You can't see the stain. Why? Because the mixture has covered the stain. That's a picture of Calvary. My sins are G-O-N-E, gone, because I've accepted Him. A substitution. That's what it's all about there in verse 6. I have a worm and old man who reproach of him and despised of the people. Look down. It gets interesting here. On the cross, the devil just opened the gates of hell's zoo and turned all hell loose on Jesus Christ. Look in your Bible. Look down at verse 12. Jesus said, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have been set me around. He hung on the cross. The bulls of hell were there to gore and inflict pain. Look at the next verse. They gave them money with their mouth as a raving and a roaring lion. Hey, you know who it is? In the Bible, the devil goes about as a roaring lion. Satan was right there at Calvary, attacking, ripping, doubting. What else do we have? Look in your Bible again. Verse number 16. The dogs have compassed me. The dogs of hell were there to intensify the pain. Really, it was all spiritual, but it's real. It's real. Again, the thing of Bible. Look down at verse number 20 again. The last word is dog. The dogs of hell were there, ripping, tearing, intensifying the pain. Look at your Bible again. Verse 11. He repeats, save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard from the horns of the unicorn. Unicorn would have a horn that would rip and tear. What a horrible place Calvary was. All the zoo of hell was there, attacking, ripping, tearing, inflicting pain upon the Son of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I've said it before, salvation's free. Salvation's a gift. But never forget this. It's free. It's a gift. But the cost was paid by Christ on Calvary. Amen. And Paul said this, the love of Christ constrains me. It's not, oh, man, I'm glad he died for me. I'm going to do my own. No. The love of Christ constrains me, motivates me, drives me, fires me. Because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. Hear it, that we should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but live unto Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. What a great statement. Paul said, because He died for me, I want to love Him. I want to serve Him out of gratitude. There's a story, probably not true, but a story. In Bible times, a man was a carpenter, and his son worked with him in a carpenter shop. And in Bible times, sometimes your last name was your occupation, okay? Like Danny the druggist. Okay. Billy the bartender. No, here we go. Okay, anyway. But your last name was probably your occupation, okay? And this young boy worked with his dad in a carpenter shop. His name was Cornelius, so they called him Cornelius the Carpenter. And one morning they're in the carpenter shop working. Man, the door just slammed open. They heard a jangling noise, looked up. A Roman soldier came in, had a piece of paper, walked up, slapped it down, said, here. Tomorrow morning we'll pick them up at 7 o'clock, and they better be ready. We'll come to get them. Walk out the door. Father said, here we go again. Got to make three crosses. Going to crucify somebody else. So that night they had to work late. They had a lot of business. The crosses had to be done. They worked late. And next morning, they come to work, had everything ready. The Roman soldiers come in, got the crosses. And Cornelius' dad said, son, come here. He said, thank you. You worked late with me. I appreciate that. Here's some shekels. What I want you to do is just go out. And, you know, I trust you, son. Just go out and get something to eat. We did have breakfast. And look around a little bit, then go home and get some sleep. Okay, Dad? So the boy's out walking around, and man, he's, you know, just having a good time, and sees a big crowd. And the little guy kind of squirts through the crowd and sees three men carrying crosses. All of a sudden, one man falls, and he recognizes him as Jesus. He runs back through the crowd, back down the street. He runs to the carpenter's shop and says, Daddy, they're going to crucify Christ on the cross that I made. He said, son of hell. He said, son, it's a filthy business. But there are five or six carpenters that build crosses. He said, now, you can't know that was a cross you made. He said, Daddy, I never told you this, but every time I made something, I take my little chisel and put my initials on it. I build a table, I put my initials on. I build a chair, I put my initials on. He said, Daddy, I made one of the three crosses and I chiseled my initials on the bottom. When Jesus fell, I saw my initials on the bottom of that cross. Your initials were there. My initials were there. He bore our sin in His body on the tree. One more thought and I'm through. It ends, one man said, with the sunrise. Look at verse 22. The man dying, there's something happened after death here. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. What happened? After Calvary, the disciples are met together. Here comes Jesus. Amen. Here he comes. He's not dead. He's alive. Man alive. Can you imagine the thrill of that? They thought he was dead. It was over. Here he comes. He's the living Christ. And because he's living, he can give you victory. Because he's living, if you're not saved, thank God, he's mighty to save. It's more than a song. It's a fact. We serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. May we trust him, live for him, exalt him, glorify him. And Paul said that Christ may be manifest in my body. May the world see Christ wasn't crucified, put in a tomb, rotted, decayed, and stank. He's alive tonight because he's the Almighty God. Let our lives show that to others. I talked to a friend on the phone today. He told me a dear friend of his had just passed away. He was battling cancer for about 3 years. Brother Jim said, I was there when my friend was dying, and he said he was struggling for breath. And he said, just struggled. You could hear that rattle in his throat, and you knew he was dying. He said, then all of a sudden a strange thing happened. He said, a smile came on the man's face. And he said, looked up. He said one word, glory to God. He said, wow, and went into heaven. Amen. Amen. That's great stuff. You know why he said, wow? It's right here. Because of the cross. You can say the same thing. Because of the cross. Wait. If you were to face Christ tonight, believer, would you be a little embarrassed? A little ashamed? You ought to get it right with God tonight. Bow your head for prayer. Preacher, God bless you, sir.
We have no music. You don't need music. Spirit of God speaking in your heart. Let's all stand. You want to do business with God? You come on. Just come on.